XO. Ladies and gentlemen, the word of the day is XO. It's a Greek prefix, and it simply means out. It means out. It might not just be a prefix. It might be able to stand alone. And it actually does here in the unveiling, chapter 22. Good morning. This is Martin Zender. What am I talking about? Obviously, the curs, the enchanters, the paramours, the murderers, the idolaters. And in case we've missed anything or anyone, everyone fabricating and fondling falsehood. It's one thing to fabricate falsehood. It's quite another thing to fondle it. The people who are out of the new earth are those who formerly were fondlers of falsehood. They loved it. They petted it. They squeezed it. They loved it. Or did I say that? Well, in short, they fondled it. But the key word here is out. Remember, this is very important. Very important, because people will use this passage, and I'll read the passage. Happy are those who are rinsing their robes, that it will be their license to the log of life, and they may be entering the portals into the city. So the context is the portals into the city. Outside are curs, that's dogs, and enchanters, and cats, and paramours, and mice, and murderers, and idolaters. How the? Wow. And everyone fabricating and fondling falsehood. So it sounds like, at first blush here, that if we're contrasting people who are entering the portals of the city to people who are outside, it makes it sound like, with the translation outside, that they are physically directly outside. The curs are out there barking their heads off. The fondlers of falsehood are fondling. They're fondling the falsehood like this, like pirates fondle the treasure that comes from the deep sea chests. And this is not it. See, this is not it. I wish the Concordant had left this side out of it, because they basically do, because with the word outside in the Concordant version, I know I talked about this earlier, but this is important. Need to talk about this again. In the word outside, if you're reading the Concordant version, you will notice that the out is in dark face type and the side is in light face type. I'm going to hold my Bible up to you, which would be not much help probably. Maybe, I don't know. It's the bottom there. Outside are curs. See, the bottom, the very bottom line. Outside are curs. Those are dogs. It's a figure of speech for dog-like people. People that have long ears, long tails, bad breath, sharp incisors. But you see, it's a dark out, O-U-T, and it's a light side. This means that side has been added. It has been added, that word side, and it should say out. Out are curs. Now, I'm going to read you the definition of the word out. It's simple. Definition of the out is, of out is not included. They're not included. The word out does not locate them. They're just simply out. See, outside, you're tempted to have them located. Well, they're outside there. We're talking about people coming into the gates, the curs, the enchanters, the idolaters, the paramours, the murderers, and those falsehood fondlers. They're all outside the gate. But no, they're just out. Does not locate them. They're just simply not included. Where are they? That's a great question. If they're not banging on the gates of the city wanting to get in, folks, that would just fly in the face of every eon getting better. Eon 5 is an improvement on Eon 4 in that death is segregated. There's no more dying. They're still dying on the millennial Earth, which is our present Earth that has been regenerated during the 1,000 years. People are still dying. It says that a person who lives to be 100 will be considered but a youth. Oh, that poor guy, he died at 100. That's like today, somebody dying at age 13 or something. It's horrible, but back then, it'll be, at that time, I should say, it'll be horrible. Somebody dies at 100. Oh my God, the good die young. Don't the good die young, don't they, Fred? Old Harvey died at 100. The good die young. It's horrible. That'll be your lament in the 1,000 years. But in the fifth eon, there is no more dying. But death still exists, you see, but it doesn't exist on the new earth. There's no more. How can you? There should be no more doom, all right? You know how I feel about doom. Revelation 22, 3. No more doom. And yet we still have curs and enchanters and idolaters, paramours, murderers outside the gate, breathing heavily against the gates, banging, rattling their chains and their leashes? No, absolutely not. They're simply out. This gives people the false idea that, well, we learned that they were in the second death. We learned that all the people whose names were not written in the book of life before this fifth eon started, they were thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death. This furthers the deception. If you think this word is outside and it locates them, instead of simply saying they're not included, you would be tempted then to say, well, the second death is obviously a second mortality, because where else could these curs, idolaters be except the second death? And somehow the second death exists outside the portals of the New Jerusalem. That's hideous teaching. It stinks. It's horrible. I will not let it survive a second on my watch. And anybody who thinks that the second death is like some zombie movie, a horror movie, where creepy crawling fondlers are slithering around like the Grinch, stealing people's Christmas trees and all their presents, I won't let it happen. Because it's not true. It's not that I'm not letting it happen. I'm looking at the word exo, and it means out. And too bad the Concordant thought to put a light face side in there. We'll just put a light face side. It sounds better to say outside, because out is not grammatically correct. It's not why, how, out. And out are curs. Out. Now we have to put outside. It sounds like better English. Screw your better English. If we want, quote, better English, unquote, we'll read the King James Version with all its petunias and flowers and landscaping, artificially produced beauty. We don't want beautiful language. We want truth and we want facts. Concordant version. Why did you put the light face side on there?
It makes it sound better.
I'm sorry. I don't care how good it sounds. It's still readable if you leave it without. I just put out there. It's still readable. What's not readable about it? An out. Out are curs. They're out. They're done. They're finished. They're not there. They're in the lake of fire, which is the second death. And it's like a library. See, there's none of this rattling of chains, pulling on leashes in the New Jerusalem, on the New Earth. It's all segregated. That's the beauty of the New Earth. That's the beauty of Eon 5. All this crap is silenced. Now, the murderers, the paramours, the enchanters, the idolaters, and those fabricating and fondling falsehood. First they fabricate it, then they fondle it. They love the creation of their own hands. They run their fingers through it. All right, not to say that these people are not coming out of the second death, because they sure as hell are coming out of the second death. They are part of those who will be liberated from death itself, because death itself will be abolished. I just read that to you. You haven't forgotten that, I hope. 1 Corinthians 15, 26, the last enemy is abolished, death. But this doesn't happen until after the fifth eon has run its course. How do I know this? Well, because Paul calls that time when death is abolished the consummation. It's the finish of the aeonian times. It's the finish of God's purpose of the eons. But when we're looking at Eon 5, we're looking at an eon, aren't we? So it's still going on. The eon is going on, but we are anticipating a time when the eons will no longer go on. What happens during that time? Death is abolished. Thank you very much. People are not alive in the second death. No, no, please. I, Jesus, this is not me speaking. This is Jesus speaking to John in Revelation 22, 16. I, Jesus, send my messenger to testify these things. See, I told you it came from Jesus. Testify these things to you in the ecclesias. I am the root and the race of David. Well, how interesting is that? I am the root and the race of David. Jesus Christ is so limiting himself here to his role as Messiah of Israel. This whole account is Jesus Christ presenting himself as the root and the race of David. Another reason why I don't see the body of Christ anywhere in this scroll, especially not in Revelation chapter 12, especially not to say that the male son is the body of Christ shepherding the nations. That's not our role, that's Israel's role. When Jesus Christ is instructing Israel, he is indeed of the root and the race of David, because he's going to be king and priest. King according to David, priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And we've talked about Melchizedek. But when he's talking to us about our role, he presents himself not as the root or the race of David, not as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, but he speaks to us as the glorified Christ, the race-free glorified Christ, who is neither Jew nor Greek. He's the exalted Son of God. Throughout this scroll, we're not seeing him in that role or in that aspect. We're seeing him as the race of David, which is glorious. Who's saying that's not glorious? You think I'm saying that's not glorious? It's great. I extol Israel. I love Israel. I love all the things of Israel. But I put this in its place. I put it in its place. I segregate it. I build a fence around it. And I guard foreign elements from entering into it, because it only leads to confusion. To me, it's no better injecting the body of Christ where it doesn't belong. That's no better than bastardizing the Gospels in Galatians, of bringing elements of the circumcision into the uncircumcision. We're doing the opposite here. We're bringing, if we are going to say that the body of Christ is to be found, I know I'm going back to that, I'm harping on it. If we were to say that the body of Christ is found anywhere in here, we're doing the opposite of the crime of Ephesians, but it's no less a crime. We're bringing a foreign element into it. In this case, we're bringing the body of Christ into the circumcision. Instead of Galatians, the circumcision brought into the body of Christ, law mixed with grace. Here we're mixing celestial allotment marvels with earthly duties, shepherding the nations with the rod of iron. Let's not do that. I'm of the race of David, the resplendent morning star. It's a new day for Israel, and the spirit of the bride, and the spirit and the bride are saying, come. The spirit and the bride are saying, come. Once again, this is an invitation. This is what Christians like to think our evangel is. This is where the Christians mix it. They say, like Jesus saying, come to me, all you who are burdened, heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jesus presents himself in this very scroll as one who stands at the door and knocks. And anyone who opens the door, I will enter into him. He will enter in with me. We will sup together and we will drink wine, have snacks, and go to bed with happy hearts. But this is a limited view of Christ. It's the relative viewpoint is what I want to say. Yes, it's the relative viewpoint where we're not looking at the cause of things. The book of James is the same way. James addresses adulterers and adulteresses, and he says God does not try anyone. And James says all these things. Don't let any man say that I'm being tried by God. A man is tried when he falls into his own temptations, by his own lusts, his own flesh. James totally refuses to look above the stage to see why the hell things that are happening on the stage are happening. James doesn't care, because James is writing to, quote, I think it's in 4:1, adulterers and adulteresses. His audience is very low, and he's dumbing it down to meet the lowest common sinner. That's what James is doing. And so he's not going to raise the bar and look above and say, all is of God. James doesn't say all is of God. It's too high for these people who are fondling falsehood. You see? And so he's not doing it there. And here in Revelation, it's also not happening. We see Jesus knocking on the door. How can anybody knock? How can anybody answer the call? How can anybody answer the call, come, when they're locked up in stubbornness? There's no one righteous, no, not one. Ah, but we don't read that except in Paul. Of course, Paul, I know, is borrowing from, what, Jeremiah? No one righteous, no, not one. They've all gone out of the way. That's a great verse. I'm glad it's there. Paul brings it. Paul puts a spotlight on it. Paul doesn't present it in passing. He presents it as a foundation stone of the evangel, not of the evangel per se, let's just say a foundation stone of the initial step of wiping out all human flesh, reducing it to a state of inertness, to a state of really being unable to respond. And then he uses that as a background of the essentiality of Christ coming and resurrecting you, figuratively resurrecting you from a figurative death, giving you light and life and peace and revelation and the realization of him that comes from without. That's the absolute viewpoint. And Paul is Mr. Absolute. That's what I used to call the guy. When I started seeing, like in 1983, 84, 85, that Paul, so different. He's so different. Paul, like, takes things to their extreme. I used to call Paul Mr. Absolute. Paul does not really, he, at the end of his letters, he delves into the relative, tells people to behave themselves, and brings out these practical things in life. But before that, he's Mr. Absolute. That guy is saying, this is how it is. It's huge truths. Boom, boom, boom. It's all Christ, all God, nothing of you, no confidence in flesh. We are all dead. We are all gone out of the way. We have died with Christ. All these things. None of these things are presented here at the end of Revelation. Rather, it's come. It's the call of Christ. It's standing at the door and knocking and leaving it there, not giving you a behind-the-scenes look. It's not like, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. And then in parentheses or as an aside, whispering to you, but I know you really can't come to me because you're just unable to in the flesh. And no flesh at all can glory in my presence. No flesh at all can accomplish the dictates of the law of Moses. Just want to tell you that. Anyway, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. No, it's just left there. We're not even looking behind the curtain. It's like the Wizard of Oz. And Toto goes and barks and tears at that curtain, but no one ever discovers that there's a man operating the levers and he has the jets for the flames. You never find that out. It'd be terrible if you never found that out. But that's where we're being left here in the unveiling. And let him who is hearing say, come. And let him who is thirsting come. Whoever can hear this, come. Whoever is thirsting, you come too. Let him who will take the water of life gratuitously, yet him who will. It's true. People will. Remember, I told you this. I, Martin Zenner, have told you this many times, that people do will and they do make decisions. We make decisions every day, but our wills are not free. The damning word in the phrase free will is not the word will. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's the word free. We're not getting into that here. That truth still applies here. We're just not looking at it. It's remaining in the relative. And Christians love it because they love responding to the invitation. They love the fact that they're coming down for the altar call and that loser back there who apparently is not convicted concerning his sin, staying in his seat, too bad. I am coming forward. I am responding to the call. It makes the flesh feel good. They're still operating on the leeward side, or is it the windward side? One of the sides, on the early side of the new creation. They're not at the new creation. They're still struggling with themselves. They're struggling with saying I. They're trying to be humble. They're not realizing that they're trying to prop up a corpse. They're trying to reform a cadaver. Trying to manipulate themselves into the kingdom of God with works. But alas, and perhaps alack, that's how the circumcision evangel is presented. It makes room for that. There's room for you to show Jesus what you can do in the flesh. And this is happening at the end of the book of Revelation. It will continue happening to the tippy-tip end of the book of Revelation. But our evangel is not found in the book of Revelation.